Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
And now, a man with a lot of bicycle knowledge and a lot of bicycle opinions. Grant Peterson. He designed the Exo line of bikes when he worked for Bridgestone, and now he's the man behind Rivendell Bicycle Works in California. Maybe you bought stuff from them online. His new book is Just Ride, a radically practical guide to riding your bike. Grant, welcome to WNYC.
That's going to be a tough program for me to follow, and that introduction is going to be hard to live up to, but let's see what we can put into it.
Let's start here. Great Britain's Bradley Wiggins, as you know, just won the Tour de France, and it's a race you refer to in the book as part of your pushback against the racing industry and what it's done to biking. So let's start there, because I think it says a lot about how you see bicycling. Racing ruins the breed, you write in this book. What's so bad about the Tour de France?
Well, you know, nothing's bad about it, but it should be fringe. You know, it should be fringe. You know, there is NASCAR racing, but you don't see people who drive cars driving those kinds of cars and riding that, and driving that way. But in bicycles, the influence of professional racing, it tends to, I think, ruin bicycle riding for a lot of people. They think if they're an adult and they want to get into bicycle riding just for whatever reason, just to be healthy, to have fun, that they have to gravitate toward the professional racing model and dress like that, ride bikes like that, and ride like that. And I don't know if it does a lot of damage, but I think it's a bad path to get on.
Listeners, we're opening the phones for your biking questions, from the simple to the complex, whether it's on helmets or blinky lights, or which seat is best for your hips, or the pros and cons of toe clips. Toe clips make me very nervous. Or when to replace your bike chain. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Our guest is Grant Peterson, author of Just Ride, a radically practical guide to riding your bike. 212-433-9692, or post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. What is the thing with toe? I currently have a hybrid, and it came with toe clips, and I asked them to take it off. It really makes me feel like I'm going to fall if anything happens, or I'm going to be stuck there and not able to dismount if I get into a jam.
Well, toe clips still allow you to take your foot off the pedal if you have the strap really tight, but there's still a racing affectation, and they came from when shoes were a little bit more slippery on the pedals, and you don't really need them. You don't need any firm connection to the pedal, just for general riding around. And when I say general riding around, I mean everything except for racing. Now, I'm sure somebody, some caller out there, may have had his or her feet slip off a pedal and maybe crash because of it, but you know, you have to pay a little attention to where your feet are on the pedal. And there are shoes that you can wear, casual shoes, rubber-soled shoes, and you can get pedals that grip them quite well. So, I mean, in pedaling that way is how most of the world pedals. You know, you don't need a firm connection to the pedal, and it's no more efficient. I'd say that's a big myth.
And you actually recommend that people pedal by putting pressure when they're on the downstroke, not through the whole 360 degrees of the rotation?
Well, yeah. There's the way that clipless pedals are sold, clipless meaning the kind that actually clip and semi-lock you into the pedal, and toe clips and straps, is that the firm connection to the pedal allows you to pull up on the stroke, and nobody does that. People may say they do it. People will say, well, you can't tell me what I don't do. I know that I'm pulling up. But, you know, this is not what the studies prove. When they hook people up to bicycles and they put wires on different muscles to see which muscles are firing, they have pretty much proven that nobody does pull up on the stroke. Mm. And if you don't do that, then there's no reason to have a firm connection. So for years, bicycle riders have been advised to pedal circles, which is to apply power 360 degrees around the pedal stroke, but it doesn't work like that. So you can just, the pedals are going to move in a circle anyway. Just push down and they'll come up, and you're going to be pedaling in a circle whether you want it or not.
Do you recommend a kind of bike in general for, let's say, commuters in a city like New York? And I know you're in Walnut Creek, California, right? That's where Rivendell is, just outside of Oakland and San Francisco?
Yeah. I think in general people ride tires that are too skinny and handlebars that are too low. So I'm going to throw out some metric numbers there, but most tires that people ride on seem to be around 23, 28 millimeters wide, about an inch and an eighth wide. I think a tire that's at least an inch and a half is a lot more practical. And I think the position on the bike makes a huge difference. I think it's good to get the handlebars up at least as high as the saddle. And sometimes racers sort of make fun of that position. They call it a begging dog position or something like that.
And it's like what they call the comfort bikes that a lot of older people with back problems ride, right?
Yeah, right. And there are a lot of people who see that position as throwing in the towel and who certainly do not see it modeled in professional racers. Yeah, not everyone's going to need the bar way higher than the saddle, but just I'd say the same height as the saddle is a good starting point mm-hmm. for anybody, and I like it a little bit higher than that. So,
if you're not putting your back into it, though, doesn't that put all the stress on your knees?
No. You know, you pedal with your legs, not your back.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a call. Julia in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC with Grant Peterson. Hi.
Hi. I have the very New Yorkerly problem of never having enough room to store my bike inside, and so for the last year I've left it outside. Even though I do ride it regularly, I'm just a bad person. So I'm wondering if there's anything I can do to basically, you know, get the rust off, or is there anything that's particularly really dangerous, you know, from leaving it outside? Is there any comments on that?
If you leave it outside for a long time, the sun can degrade the tires and things like that. But you know, if it's a metal bike, a steel bike, or an aluminum bike, there's not going to be a lot of harm done to it just by storing it outside. The handlebar tape, anything that's plastic or rubbery on it, may degrade, but you can cover those things up or just replace them. So I'd say don't sweat it.
Julia, thanks. Good luck out there with that bike. Vernon on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, Brian. Love your show.
Thank you.
And I believe the guest is not an advocate for helmets.
Do you want to talk about that, Grant, before even hearing the rest of his question?
Yeah. Okay, shoot the rest of the question.
Okay, it's not really a question. I had a really serious bicycle accident on early November. And I basically I hit it. I mean, I didn't just eat it. I missed colliding with the car and coming down a hill.
Okay,
and
I got you.
And my wife got me a helmet. I used to have a consumer a commuter kind of helmet, one that sits on top of your head. My wife got me this burn helmet, and I totally think it saved my life.
Well, it may have. You know, I think in the introduction when Brian said that I was against helmets or however he was, I think he was
overstating it.
A little bit of an overstatement. But the thing is that with any safety device, I mean, certainly, let me jump ahead and say that if I'm going down on the ground, my head's going to hit, I absolutely want to have a helmet on. But it's not that simple of an issue. Because when you wear any protective clothing, any safety device, snake-proof boots, bulletproof vest, you've got a parachute that opens and you're about to jump out of a plane, anything like that. And a bicycle helmet is the same thing. You tend to take more risks. So there's this thing called risk compensation that means that you ride a little bit more dangerously when you have a helmet on. And
so as an individual in Vernon's situation, the helmet may well have saved his life.
But
you're saying as a public health strategy, fewer accidents overall. You think people may be taking too many risks because they feel too safe because they have helmets?
I believe that to be the case also. And I also don't think that helmets are all that protective. A lot of people fall down on the helmet, hit the helmet. They look at the inside of the helmet, say they see this cracked styrofoam, and they say, hey, that could have been my head. Well, not exactly. Styrofoam and skulls, you know, don't crack at the same rate, I guess. But I'm not against helmets. I just think that you should maybe wear one, but somehow convince yourself that you don't have one on so that you don't ride more riskily when you have the helmet.
And the same thing with the blinky lights, false sense of security, or well, it attracts a certain kind of driver. Something about attracting drivers?
Well, yeah, it's just I'm all for lights, but if you have a blinky light, it also has a static mode. So just put it on static mode so it doesn't blink. The whole idea is that, blinky lights can attract people and they can attract drunk drivers on the road. They see a blinky light, they sort of hone in on that. And so just a light that's not blinking is a safer light and a lot more, I guess, a lot less irritating than a blinking one.
Ooh, shiny object. I'm going to go give that a little shove.
That's exactly right. Let me see if I can catch up with it.
Sandra in the Bronx, you're on WNYC with Grant Peterson, author of Just Ride. Hello.
Hi, I'm going to go throw away my helmet and blinky light right now.
You could think about it and make your own decision. I'm not throwing away my helmet or my blinky light.
I have four helmets, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
When do you use them?
At night.
Okay.
I put reflective tape on them so that other people can see me.
Ha. Sandra, go ahead.
Hi, I'm a huge bike commuter. And by the way, I live in the Bronx and I work in Lower Manhattan, and I've tried getting to work every way. I think subway, car, boat, walking, and bicycle is just absolutely the best way. So I'm a huge, huge bike commuter. And recently my rear gear, the big gear, has some chips in it. And I've heard everything from that I need to replace the chain. People tell me I have to replace the chain every year. And then I heard other people say I never have to replace it. And they said that the chain is what's causing the gear to chip in the back, and I'm not sure. And then after that, I have another question about bicycle seats.
Ask it now because we're going to run out of time.
Oh, okay, because I'm part Hispanic, so I have that J-Lo shape. I have kind of like wider hips. But the bike seat I have right now,
I know
really,
some other ethnic groups who also, but never mind.
That's okay. I'm just joking about that. But anyway.
Sandra, okay,
can we
talk about
that?
We could talk about that on our next show. We're almost out of time, Grant. So quickly on the chain, quickly on the seat.
Well, you do need to replace your chain, and you do need to replace the gears in the rear sometime. Often they need to be replaced together. I don't think a chipped tooth in the back is going to cause the chain to skip. If the bike were here with me and I had it up on a stand, I could tell you what was making it shift funkily, but on the phone it's kind of hard to diagnose.
And
take it to a good shop.
Should seat width follow hip width?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you have around 6.5 inches or more in back, at least, you know, try something close to about 7 inches, but there's a lot of good, cheap saddles out there, and it's just part of the process finding the one that works for you. You may have to go through two or three.
Do you like a one-gear bike for the city?
I think so, yeah, as long as there's not a lot of climbing.
Grant Peterson's book is Just Ride, a radically practical guide to riding your bike. I enjoyed this so much. I wish we had more time. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Brian. We'll be right back.